Hello, this is John Irwin once again with Living by Faith, a weekly program here at Faith Presbyterian Church in Myrtle Beach. It's now Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. We're glad you're with us. I wanted to talk this morning just briefly about the plague. That is about the disease that we've all heard about, COVID-19, the coronavirus, however you want to look at it. I wanted to just address that particular thing for a little bit. It has upended a lot of people's lives, including ours. Things look different. We walk around in masks. We try to, we have now in our vocabulary things like social distancing and shutdowns and all of those different things. And it's affected us in a lot of ways. Now, whether or not we say that it's the virus that's affected it or we say it's the government's response to it that has affected it, it's the same thing. We're affected by it. And, of course, many of us know people who have gotten sick with it. Some of us have known people who have died with it. It's a serious thing. And yet, at the same time, how do we as Christians operate in this kind of context? How do we live in this society with what everybody's telling us, all the information that's being thrown at us, and so forth? Well, you know, plagues or disease is not new. We all know that. It's something that has happened since the fall, since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and sin affected the whole world. Now there's disease and illness and death and all those things. And I want to just review for you a little bit about plagues in the Bible. In the wilderness time in particular, there were many plagues that were part of God's judgment upon the people. In Exodus chapter 32, there's just a small verse at the very end of the chapter that says God sent a plague, and this was in response to them having put together this golden calf to worship. In Numbers chapter 11, they had the complaining where they wanted meat, and God gave them quail to eat, and they had so much to eat and so forth. But at the end, through that, because of their complaining, God sent a plague even through that meat-eating time. And then just a few chapters later, in Numbers 14, the spies who had spied out the land, they died by plague, except for the two that were faithful to God, Joshua and Caleb. And then in Numbers 16, at Korah's rebellion, there was another plague. And in fact, God told all the people to get away from Korah and his family and those who were following him because the plague was coming, and many people died. And then again, in Numbers 25, perhaps the most famous of the plagues in the book of Numbers was the plague that took place after Balaam's prophecies and so forth, and the people of Midian enticed the Israelites to worship Baal and commit immorality with them, and God sent a plague, and there were many, many people who died as a result of that plague. But I wanted to turn with you this morning to just a brief passage, and that's from Numbers or from 2 Samuel 24. This is later. This is not the wilderness time. This is David. And David, as you know, or perhaps you don't know, in his pride, he wanted to count all the people, probably to basically be able to tell others what kind of kingdom he had and how much of a reign that he had. And he did that, and God didn't like it. And he gave David a choice of what would happen in judgment. Kind of a strange thing. Numbers 24, verse 10. David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people, and David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." And when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, thus says the Lord, three things I offer you. Choose one of them that I may do it to you." So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, "Shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land, or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me." Then David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but let me not fall into the hand of men." So the Lord sent a pestilence, that is a disease, on Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. Think of this. course, we know in the end God did stop the plague and had mercy on Israel, with 70,000 people dying just from this illness in a very short period of time. Now, I have to look at what's going on around us. We have this disease that's going around, and frankly, it's not all that much different from a lot of other diseases that we have. The mortality rate is very low. Some people get it and really don't experience many symptoms. Other people get it and have very serious consequences, or may still have things they're suffering from even months after they have the disease. So how do we deal with such a thing? First of all, we recognize God's in control. God is sovereign. He can send a plague at any time. Secondly, we know that sometimes, not all the time, and this may not be the case now, but sometimes these plagues that God sends are direct judgment upon a people. Perhaps a particular nation, perhaps a particular event has caused it. We don't know why the COVID-19 has come. I can't tell you that I have inspiration from God to tell you that this is why it came. But we do know that pain and suffering and disease and all those things are in the world because man is sinful. Because we are sinners, sin has affected the world in such a way that diseases are part of God's judgment. Now we know that all of us, as sinners, we deserve death. So we cannot go to God and shake our fist at him and say, God, it's not fair that you sent this particular plague, because we know that we don't deserve just a plague that might affect some of us and a certain small percentage of us even kill. All of us deserve death. That's the wages of sin. So how do we handle this as believers in our everyday life? First of all, we recognize God is in control. And because he's in control, we have comfort and encouragement that he knows what he's doing. And remember, he says in Scripture that God works together for the good of all those that are called unto him and love him. We know that. So we know that in the end, even this, God has our best interests at heart if we are believers. The second thing we should remember as we go about all these things is a reminder to be sober about our sin. This is an opportunity for us to reflect on the fact that we are sinners. And when we see all that is going on, it may affect us in many ways. Some of you may have been affected financially. Some of you may have been affected and lost your jobs or had relationship issues. Or perhaps with this, because you disagree with how to handle this, maybe you have family members who really have become estranged from you. This has happened. But this is an opportunity to reflect upon ourselves, both as individuals, that we're sinners in need to repent of our sins before a holy God who will judge us, but also as a church, even as a nation, to recognize that we too, as groups, we're sinners. We're responsible for what takes place amongst us, and God will judge our country. He will judge the United States of America. He will judge the other nations of the world. And because of that, we come to him in sober realization that even though he is in charge, we recognize we don't deserve more than this plague. I mean, we deserve more as far as death and so forth, but we don't deserve good things above and beyond that. Every good thing we have is from the Lord. And so we come with those two realizations. But also as believers, there's another thing. We should not be afraid. You know, there are many in our country and many in society around us who are afraid. Now, part of the reason they're afraid is because the media has hyped this thing to the nth degree. I could tell you my personal views about this, and many of you would disagree with me in many ways, but I think in a large way, this has been way overblown, and we're fear-mongering so that others, in a sense, can place on us a burden of looking outside ourselves and outside our Savior for hope and for freedom. And so what has happened now is so many people are so afraid of this particular virus that they're paralyzed with fear. In fact, you see some people not wanting to even get out of their homes, even when they're healthy and perhaps don't have any health conditions to warrant that. There are others who are afraid to gather together and worship among God's people because they're afraid. And yet we know at any instant God can strike us dead. At any instant God could take this plague completely away. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't ever do anything in order to mitigate errors or problems or disease or that kind of thing. We're smart about such things. But we also understand God's the one in control. And I want to say this. I want to encourage you with these words this morning as we consider our life, what we should do and how we should live. And that's in the book of Philippians. You know, it is important for us to understand all of us will die at some point. We as believers, we believe this. We have been saved so that in this life, God would give us tasks to do to glorify him. And then that we would be able to glorify him with everyone who is in his kingdom in heaven. But hear these words from Paul in Philippians 1, verses 18 and following. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, on the one hand, this means we don't fear death. Don't like it. It's not something that God told us to enjoy. In fact, death is the punishment for sin being in the world and for our sin in particular. Our death is the wage of sin. However, notice this too. Paul says, with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body. Did you notice that? He says full courage. Here's Paul. Now, Paul's not sick. He doesn't have a disease at this point. But he's sitting in prison. Things outside his circumstance, his control, his circumstances outside his control have made him in a position where many people would be afraid. Many people would just kind of give up and think they had no more place in the world. But here's Paul sitting in prison and says, whether I am in this body or I die, I would have the courage that Christ might be seen in me. Think of this. Right now, in your dealing with this particular situation, do you have the courage necessary, not by your own power, not by your own strength, but by the courage and the strength of the Holy Spirit? Are you letting God work in you and through you right now? If your life is about hiding and just trying to find some way to survive, is that really what God wants you to do? Some of us, yes, with certain health conditions, age, circumstances, and so forth, we have to be more careful. I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, there is courage in seeking to glorify Christ even through these circumstances. I want you to think just for a minute. In past plagues, Christians have been known for these things. Christians have been known to be those in the hospitals and in the areas where people are sick, ministering to their needs, taking care of their family, doing those things, even putting their own lives in danger at times for these things. Some of our doctors and nurses have done that admirably through this time period. But I want you to think, what are you doing to honor and glorify Christ? One of the things that we do is we come together for worship and we find a way to do it. Sometimes we're going out to see somebody who needs encouragement, even if we're both afraid. And the other times it may be that we're looking at ways to help businesses in town to make it through the next phase of our particular situation. Whatever it is your life right now, not just a life of fear because of what's going on, is your life one that with courage is seeking to glorify God? To live is Christ. To die is Christ.